Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, transcendental knowledge, text number 34. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha tat. That knowledge of different sacrifices. Vidi. Try to understand. Pranipatena. By approaching a spiritual master. Pariprashnena. By submissive inquiries. Sevaya. By the rendering of service. Upadek Shanti, they will initiate. Te, you, Jnanam, into knowledge. Jnanina, the self-realized. Tattva, of the truth. Darshinaha, seers. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciple succession from the Lord himself. No one could be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciple succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciple succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help one lead to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive this knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. When he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. Bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind to the disciple. And so when the disciple is always submissive, it is ready to render service, reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So the text again. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you, because they have seen the truth. In summary, Prabhupada writes that the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult, and therefore the Lord advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciple succession from the Lord himself. That no one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciple succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciple succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. So, as we can see from our own experience, that spiritual realization is not so easy. Because, first of all, probably explains that if you want to learn to learn, if you want to, well, that's pretty bright. It's too bright. Yeah. If you want to learn how to play the violin and you go to a famous violin school, the first thing they ask you is, how long have you been practicing the violin? And if you tell them you've been practicing for some years, then they charge you twice as much. Because the first thing they do is have to help you forget what you've already learned. And since we've been educated in a society which is teaching all the wrong things, namely, from the point of view of materialistic education, they may get many things right. In other words, if you want to fix your computer, you generally don't go to a self-realized soul to do it. You go to someone who knows the technical aspects of how to fix computers. But if you want to become self-realized, then don't go to a computer expert, because they don't know anything about the subject matter. So in terms of technical advancement, apparently Manasa civilization has made advancement in technology, but not in spiritual understanding. Therefore, it's very difficult, because we have so many wrong things, so many wrong conceptions, and we're attached to them. Either we take pleasure in them, or they make us feel secure. Anything happens to us, the ambulance will come and take us to the hospital, and they can cure anything. Of course, the two occupations who have the shortest life expectancy, number one are doctors, and number two are airplane pilots. So they can't even cure themselves, but to speak of anyone else. In any case, it's difficult, because to actually be submissive to the right person with the right subject matter, those combinations are not so common in Kali Yuga. First of all, we're taught, be independent, be your own man or woman, don't listen to anyone. And what to speak of becoming a servant? That's the last thing on people's list. What does your father do for a living? Oh, he's a servant. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked the question. And what does your mother do? Well, she's trying to become a servant. Oh, my God. The last thing anyone wants to become is a servant. If you say, what does he do? Oh, he's a master. Oh, good. Therefore, it said, Tarka pratishta shutiya nibina nasavari shiryasya nibinam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahadno yena katha sabhanta. Generally speaking, arguments are not conclusive. The Chaitanya Charitamrita advises us to actually argue on the basis of scripture to try to come up to the conclusion. But most people, they just concoct their arguments, and they're inconclusive. In the Vedic conception of argument, there are different types of arguments. Vitanda, what is that? One of them is just arguing for the sake of arguing. The other is the sake of trying to defeat your opponent. And the other is to find the conclusive truth. That's Vitanda? Vada. To find the conclusive truth. So Chaitanya Charitamrita advises us that we should argue on that basis, on scriptural evidence, and to try to assimilate it and see it from different points of view so we get a clearer vision. But most people are not interested in that. Nor do they believe in scripture, and even if they believe in scripture, they generally don't believe in the conclusion of scripture. And if they agree with the conclusion, they don't follow it, or they have a hard time following it. Therefore, Prabhupada's whole purport here is that we're trying to attain transcendental knowledge. Now, we don't even know what transcendental knowledge really is. We hear that we're not this body, and that's certainly transcendental knowledge, and that Krishna is God, but exactly to experience it is a whole different thing. We hear theoretically what knowledge is, but actually the experience is only revealed when we actually have the experience. And that experience means that we have to do something to get the experience. And here the combination is given a submission, service, and inquiry. Now, the reason, for instance, why we have the speaker sits on a seat, not to be able to look over everyone and see if anyone's falling asleep, although it is helpful for that too. But some honor is given to the speaker, not so he can feel good, but so that the people who are listening will give some respect. Because unless we give some respect, we're not going to hear anything. There must be some reason why we're going to listen to someone. Why does someone come to class? Sometimes in some temples they have a list of devotees, and then they check off if you came to class. So not only you're a good devotee if you come to class, but you'll get prasadam tomorrow. So people are motivated. They come, and they appear to be listening, but you're not quite sure exactly what they're actually thinking. Or Shruti Kirti Prabhu said that when he was Prabhupada's servant, he'd often have to massage Prabhupada at night, so he was quite tired. But he was obliged to come to the class every morning and sit right in front of Prabhupada, but he was asleep, practically speaking. So he learned the art of keeping his eyes open and being fast asleep. But we're trying to actually learn something. In other words, we really want transcendental experience, because transcendental experience, although it goes beyond our present experience, we understand it's pleasureful, it's happiness, it's enlightenment, it's love, it's affection, it's everything we're actually looking for. Now, here it says that taraka apratishta. When we read something, when we hear something, generally our minds are quite combative. We think, well, what is this person? You know, who is he to tell me anything? Why should I listen? How do I know what he's telling? He's actually understood. Maybe he's just telling it to mislead me or whatever. Our minds are constantly battling. Who does this person think they are to tell me what to do? Therefore, we have to open our minds so we can use our intelligence. That when we're arguing, it should be in order to obtain vision, as I said this morning. It's not that we shouldn't just be arguing or discussing things simply to defeat the other person. That's vitanda, is just to defeat people. What's the other one besides Vada? Just arguing for the sake of arguing. Just as a fun game too. But it should actually be Vada in order to obtain vision. People say one thing, you say something else, not to defeat them, not just argue, but to actually try to clarify everything and to actually see things more clearly. Shrutiya vibina. There are so many scriptures. There are six Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, six Puranas for those in the mode of passion, and six Puranas for those in the mode of goodness. They appeal to different audiences, and they're meant to elevate the audience to the progressively higher stages of consciousness. But even when we read the scriptures, as William Blake said, we both read the Bible day and night. I read black and you read white. Therefore, we may not be able to ascertain what scripture is trying to tell us unless we can learn the art of assimilating the philosophy to get a higher vision, to actually see what it's saying. That's called siddhanta, the actual purport. And then the Savari Shir Yasyanabhinam, even the sages, Patanjali, Kanada, Gautama, Kapila, they're saying so many different things. So it's confusing. Unless we see the angle that they're coming from, what stage of realization they're on, what they're trying to convey to their audience, to bring them to a higher state, we may become confused. Therefore, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, one who's actually self-realized, they can convey the message of the Lord as it is. But that depends upon realization. And realization is not simply an official position. It's actually coming from Krishna within the heart. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, according to how consistently and how enthusiastically we're serving Krishna and his mission. I mean, Krishna actually has a reason for coming. He's not just on vacation. He actually has a purpose. And as much as we become enthusiastic and consistent in serving that purpose, namely, he doesn't hide the purpose, namely to help others become Krishna conscious. Then to that extent, the Dhamma Yogam Tam, Buddha Yogam Tam, Krishna gives the intelligence in order to accomplish that mission. That's the intelligence Krishna will give. How to become expert in discriminating, how to present Krishna consciousness to different audiences. And then Krishna will empower one in order to do that, if that's what one wants to do. Therefore, Prabhupada in his prayers, in the Jaladuta, born of the Jaladuta, said that, please make my prayers, my words, potent, so they can actually enter into the hearts of the conditioned soul and enliven and enlighten them. Now, as Prabhupada writes here, that the self-realized soul, the spiritual master, one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender. And one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant. In other words, the qualification of a spiritual master should be that they realize that they're the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and to the extent that they actually realize that, they become bona fide. Every one of us is, in one sense, a bona fide spiritual master, as much as we've understood that we're a bona fide servant, we're trying to become a bona fide servant of one who's a bona fide servant of the servants of the servants of Krishna. Then it's worthwhile to surrender it and become a menial servant. Of course, even if one is not so elevated, even if we choose a spiritual master, whether Diksha or Shiksha, and we serve them like a menial servant without false prestige, then we'll become elevated. If we're actually serving someone who's in the disciple succession, and we're serving them like a menial servant without false prestige, in order to try to satisfy them, that very act will Krishna will empower us, because that's what we're trying to accomplish. Now it's easier if we're actually serving someone who's acting like a bona fide servant of his spiritual master. Then it's easier to follow them and exemplify them, follow in their footsteps and more or less act as they are, as they're teaching, and actually act as a menial servant without false prestige. Then it's much easier for us to do that, and when we do that, then Krishna enlightens us. But Krishna has a mission, as I said. It's not that he simply wants us to become humble and surrendered. He also wants us to become more discriminating and more expert at our service. He doesn't want us to go around, as I said before, one devotee told Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Prabhupada said, well, if you're the most fallen, then you should do something about it. Or Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Prabhupada's response was, you're not the most anything. But menial servant means that one without false prestige he becomes an instrument for the previous acharyas, and doesn't take credit for what's going on, because he realizes, nimitra matram bhavasavasachin, my perfection has become an instrument, and not to become an enjoyer of even the activities of this body, which in the spiritual, when we're performing spiritual activities, are the activities of the spiritual nature. It doesn't really matter what body we have, even if you become a monkey like Hanuman, if you're, well, he was a special monkey, of course, he's a varna. It's kind of very intelligent monkeys. Most monkeys don't perfectly recite Sanskrit and know all the Vedas. Nor can they lift mountains. In any case, he was a varna. Prabhupada sometimes uses him as a case, as an example of even non-humans can, if they're engaged in Krishna's service, they become fully under the spiritual energy. So anyone engaged in Krishna consciousness, they're to some degree or another under the influence of the spiritual energy. We may take credit for what we're doing out of illusion, so we're not so much under the spiritual energy. But when we can actually see that we're not the doer and that Krishna is doing everything, then we can become more and more empowered, because Krishna, when our false ego doesn't interfere with what we're doing, then Krishna actually trusts us and he gives us more and more power in order to do his service. We become more and more an effective instrument to spreading Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada said, like, the beginning is like a menial servant without false prestige. Humility, amadi vam, adambi vam, ahimsa shanti arjavam, acharya pasanam socham, stiryam atma vinigraha. That humility, pridelessness, this is the beginning and the foundation that the whole spiritual world exists in humility and pridelessness. It's not that when we get back to the spiritual world and we become proud. I made it. I'm the greatest. No, humility and love, they go together. The more love there is, the greater the humility. Even Radharani, she's noted to be the most humble. She thinks herself the least worthy of Krishna's servants. Not just that she thinks, I'm the greatest devotee, I'm the internal energy, I'm the full internal energy. No, she thinks, I'm insignificant. And therefore, sometimes when she's going to meet Krishna, then she stops thinking that maybe I'm unqualified, maybe Krishna wants another gopi rather than me. And that, therefore, her maidservants have to encourage her. No, actually, Krishna wants you. You should go. Krishna is waiting for you. And then she goes with the encouragement of her maidservants. So therefore, the more humble one becomes, the more one becomes selfless, simply doing things to try to please Krishna, although thinking oneself to be unqualified, then the more one advances in devotional service. Eternally, Radharani's maidservants are aspiring to become her servant. They never think, I've made it, I'm her servant, I'm the greatest, I have the greatest, you know. They're always in the mood of aspiring to become her servant. Even Krishna is aspiring to become the servant of Srimati Radharani. They never feel like they've quite made it. And indeed, the whole arrangement, even in the spiritual world, is to keep that humility, because without that humility and aspiration to become a servant, then love can't really develop. Love is always seeing that the beloved is unlimitedly great and that I'm unlimitedly small, and that keeps the loving exchange very fresh. Therefore, one has to practice that in devotional service. And by practicing that, one can actually make advancement. But that advancement also has to be to become empowered by the empowered mean that we have to become, learn the science of devotional service, the art of loving and serving. And that also requires discrimination. Because if we serve everyone equally, that means that we have no discrimination. Because everyone doesn't deserve to be served equally, and not everyone's, our service to everyone will be properly utilized equally. It's called yukta-hara. It has to be appropriate. And therefore, one learns that art from someone who's expert at that art, then we can also learn the art from them. How to discriminate what devotees are on what level of spiritual attainment, and from the more advanced devotees, take their example of how to serve and how to appreciate and how to love and how to discriminate so we can appropriately love, serve, and appreciate. And for those who are on the same level as we are, then we cooperate in order to serve the instructions of the higher authority. Doya, Kora, Shiacharya, Prabhu, Srinivas, Ramachandra, Sangha, Mage, Naratamo Das. We take the instructions from the Acharya and we utilize them in cooperation with each other to serve the mission of the Acharya, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when we don't understand what that instructions are, we have this, then we discuss it and come up with some conclusion on how to best serve the instruction in order to please the previous Acharya. So satisfaction of the self-realized soul is a secret of advance in spiritual life. The idea is not, to get it right means to get it to satisfy the self-realized spiritual master, to satisfy Krishna, not that we got it right and we defeated the other party and therefore we're the greatest. We're the most intelligent, we're the most powerful, and the other party has been defeated. Let them be vanquished. No, cooperation sometimes means, or usually means compromise for the satisfaction of spreading the movement. Because what's going to spread the movement is not that we have the greatest philosophy. We do have the greatest philosophy, and we have probably the smallest growing movement. Having the best philosophy doesn't always in itself work so well. Especially when we think we have the greatest philosophy and we take the philosophy like a club, we beat people over the head with it. Surrender, I know what's going on. You guys are in Maya. If you don't surrender me, I have a friend named Yamaraj and here's a picture of him. And here's his friends. You want to meet his friends? No, it actually means that what people are looking for, what we're looking for, is a philosophy that actually leads to loving exchanges. Because without those loving exchanges, philosophy is pretty dry. Taraka pratishta. Without coming to the conclusion of how to cooperate and serve the higher authorities for the sake of distributing love. We're not just distributing knowledge. Although Prabhupada wanted us to distribute books, he also wanted us to do it in such a way that people would want to read the books. And he noted that we were able to distribute the books because the devotees are their enthusiasm, not because they're simply being learned scholars. They walk up to someone and defeat their arguments. No, out of enthusiasm, out of appreciation for other people, then generally it's easier to distribute books. If anyone has ever been on book distribution and try to convince someone that they should buy the book, maybe 1 out of 100 people or 200 or 1,000 people will buy the book because they're convinced philosophically. People have no idea what philosophy is. Even to convince someone on the street that they're not their body would probably take 100 years. But out of enthusiasm or out of appreciation, whatever reason, and people will take the book. And maybe they might even look at it sometime if they have a favorable impression from the devotees. Therefore, one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret advancement in spiritual life. That inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. There has to be some. We're only going to become inquisitive to find out what the science is when we actually think that we're going to get some higher experience by finding out what the science is. We think that it's simply an intellectual experience and that I'm not going to really experience anything beyond the theoretical knowledge, then we won't be very much enthusiastic to actually find out what's going on. Inquiries and submission. So we should actually be inquisitive. We want to realize, experience what Krishna consciousness is, because we hear it so fantastically nice. But then we have to be submissive to the right people. Unless we're submissive to the right people, to the right ideas, then it usually winds up either arguments to see who's right, or it winds up as the Tarka Pratit Shruti Avibina, studying millions of books. If you want to prove something right, there's so many books, there's so many Vedic literatures, you can prove anything. You just go to the right scripture and you can find, and you quote it. It's bona fide Vedic literature. And if that doesn't work, then you quote some of the authorities. You even make up your own authority. You know, Prabhupada said, you don't know where he said it, but you know he said it. He should have said it. Even if he didn't say it, he should have said it. That's one of the Ritvik arguments. Prabhupada, actually, he would have said it, but he just didn't have time. Therefore, inquiries and submission to the right authority constitute the proper combination of spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission, unless there is submission, service, inquiries from the bona fide learned spiritual master will not be effective. So there actually has to be some service. We have to apply it. When we hear the instructions, we have to hear them submissively, but we should also try to understand how to apply them. And therefore, Prabhupada says in the next line, is it the next line? One has to pass the test of the bona fide spiritual master. And when he sees a genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So it's a mood, it's a consciousness, it's an activity, it's everything that's necessary to be learned so that we can apply it, try to apply it. And therefore, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So these two things are essential if we want to actually advance in spiritual life. So blind following means I have no time to really analyze these things. Every time I read the scripture, I get a headache. But I just have blind faith that, you know, everyone else is saying that this person knows everything. So I have blind faith that he knows everything. So I inquire about everything. You know, should I get married, about my real estate investment, and I just follow. And if it doesn't work, then I know the person wasn't bona fide. He should have known everything. He's as good as Krishna. Krishna knows everything, so he should know everything Krishna knows. And I just follow them blindly, because I have no time to think. Matter of fact, they discourage me. You're thinking too much, Prabhu. You're not submissive. So this blind following is condemned. And absurd inquiries. Yes, I'm thinking a lot. Matter of fact, I'm on the internet 24 hours a day debating every issue that ever came up. And I almost defeated all the people who think that the soul didn't come from Vaikuntha or the soul dropped down from Mahavishnu Loka. I've defeated practically all of them, but there's a few thousand left. And every issue that comes up, I'm on the internet 24 hours a day, making sure that my viewpoint, whatever it might be for that day, reigns supreme on the internet. So absurd inquiries has nothing to do with developing loving relationships with devotees. Matter of fact, my main business is to make sure that their arguments are destroyed and they surrender to me. Love, submission, whatever, these things are not important. Absurd inquiries. What does it matter at the time of death? The Yamadutas don't come and ask you, you know, where did the jiva come from? And if you give the right answer, they say, all right, we'll let you go. You got the right answer. the Vaikuntha airplane comes and says, you know, whatever the latest debate's going on, ask you the question, and if you get the right answer, they let you on the airplane. So blind following and absurd inquiries to condemn, one should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding. Therefore, our aim is to get a clear understanding in submission, service, and inquiry. The bona fide spiritual master by nature is very kind to the disciple, and therefore when the disciple is always submissive and is ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. In other words, when we actually accept that we're a servant of Krishna's servants, and we actually engage in the service with love and attention, with care and attention, then Krishna reveals these things to us. And after learning so many different things, and whatever, we actually become proud, and we think we know everything, but with that we don't know. The last thing I'm going to become is submissive and render service as a menial servant with love and affection or care and attention. Then the result is we don't really learn very much. Because we have the example of Vallabhacharya, greatly learned scholar in devotional life, but who is proud. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent some time trying to reduce his pride so he could actually make some spiritual advancement. So every day he would come and debate with a Dvaitacharya. I mean, trying to debate with Mahavishnu is, if you're really wasting your time, since he knows everything in the past, present, future, he's God. But anyhow, he'd come in debate with Sarup Damodara, Advaitacharya, and others, and he'd always get defeated. He'd say things like, you know, why is you chanting the name of Krishna? Krishna is supposed to be the supreme husband. We're supposed to be the jivas. The jiva, the wife, is not supposed to chant the name of the husband. So why, you know, are you doing that? So then Advaitacharya said, well, just ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know. And why you chanted the name of Krishna? So what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's answer? That anyone who doesn't accept the Swami is a prostitute? Is that that was the answer?
First duty is to obey the order, and the order has to chant.
And 10. Well, what was that about whoever...
Sri Sridhar Swami.
Whoever doesn't accept the Swami is a prostitute. Swami means the husband. So Sridhar Swami was the original commentator. So in any case, the point is that we want to get knowledge, but knowledge includes character. The highest knowledge is revealed to one who actually has the proper character. And if we don't develop the proper character, then we don't get the proper knowledge. Whatever our character is, that's the knowledge we're going to have. Therefore, the aim of our society is to develop devotees of the highest character so they can actually experience the highest state of happiness in pure love and Krishna consciousness, which includes the basic foundation, becoming humble and becoming a servant of Krishna's service out of love, trying to serve all the other devotees appropriately with proper discrimination so they can actually be properly served. So that character, well, that service attitude which comes become a servant of actually Krishna's bona fide servants elevates one to the highest state of consciousness, which means the highest state of character also, and the highest performance of spreading Krishna consciousness, the highest effectiveness of being able to do so. Therefore, in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami states that after going through verse 5, trying to explain who's on what level of devotional attainment and giving some qualifications, then he writes at the end that we should know what level of qualification others are on. If we don't know that, then we're not
We're in ignorance. Because we're in ignorance, but there are different degrees of ignorance. But that ignorance is a foundational ignorance that we're trying to get over. We should be able to discriminate and see by devotees' activities and by their character and by their speech and by whatever else what level of devotional attainment they're on. Not for the sake of criticizing them and defeating them or neglecting them or whatever, but for the sake of probably be able to serve them. And then one should know what level of spiritual attainment one is on. The whole material world exists in on the level of imitation. It's all an imitation. Our whole existence is just an imitation of actual spiritual, of our real position. It's an imitation of Krishna. And Krishna is pure devotees. Therefore, we should be able to understand where we're actually at. Not that if I'm a man, I should think, well, actually, I would like to become a woman. Or if I'm a woman, I should think, well, maybe I'd like to be a man. I have a tape from interviews. Someone was doing interviews in America, which is like the acharya of imitation. They're very expert at imitating, trying to, you know, advertisement, another form of imitation. You have a can of Coke, you know, and it's supposed to be Amrita. They advertise it as if it's Somarasa. You drink it and you're past heaven. You're practicing Goloka. They're masters of imitation. So there, one person went up to a campus and they were interviewing people, students, asking them, you know, I mean, you may not believe it or understand it, but this interview was saying who's like 5'8" tall. That's 5 feet 8 inches tall. I don't know, it's in centimeters. But he was saying to the student that actually I believe I'm a Chinese man and I'm 6'5" and I'm a woman. Actually, I'm a woman, six foot five, Chinese woman. Do you believe me? And the answers the students were going, well, if you actually feel like that, then then I can accept it. Not just one student, but several students. I mean, I don't know if they included all the, maybe there was a few sane people left that they didn't include in the interview, but there were enough of them that were, yes, yes, if you feel like that, then it's, for you it's true. You're actually a 6'5" Chinese woman. So that's the stage of imitation. People don't even have to have a body that conforms to a certain, you know, size or a certain nationality, certain gender. You could just imagine anything and people accept it as real. So that kind of imitation means that people have no idea who they actually are and actually what they're supposed to be doing. But we should know who we are, what level of spiritual advancement, and then we can go to the next one. If we imagine where Uttama Adhikar is, well, people think, well, that's not very good. But if we are acting as if we're Uttama Adhikar is, and we're given all the service, we're given the service of an Uttama Adhikari, when we're not an Uttama Adhikari, then Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction before that, we'll get ourselves into difficulty. And if I'm a Kanista Adhikari, even I'm thinking that I have proper discrimination like a Madhyama Adhikari and I can instruct everyone decisively, at least on the liberated platform, then I also get myself into difficulty. So one should be able to ascertain what level one is on and then one will be able to give appropriate instructions to others and act appropriately. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given us some hint of how we can understand who's on the highest platform. Namely, by one's ability to convert others and to become Vaishnavas. In other words, when we have a clear vision, then we can actually help people also become clear in their vision. That's the purpose of knowledge, is to help elevate people to a higher and higher platform of Krishna consciousness. So then Prabhupada writes that one should not become a spiritual master unless he's obtained the platform of Uttama Adhikari. Now, who's going to claim that they've actually become an Uttama Adhikara? And therefore, does that mean every time someone initiates someone, it's a declaration that I'm actually an Uttama Adhikari, and therefore I can actually save you? And then Prabhupada writes, a Kanista Adhikari, a neophyte devotee, an intermediate devotee, can also accept disciples, but such disciples should be on the same level, and it should be understood that they can't help their disciples due to their insufficient guidance. So that's an important instruction. Of course, it's not the instruction you hear every day. That initiation, what does initiation mean? Ultimately, initiation means that I'm giving up my false ego. I'm no longer going to really accept my identity as being this body or having some material identification. I'm going to accept myself as being the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So initiation is necessary so one can develop the proper service attitude. We have to surrender to a person. We can't, you know, be initiated by the pole over here. My dear pole, my dear column, from now on I accept myself as the servant of the servant of your servants. No, it has to be something practical. We actually have to do some service, and therefore we have to choose the best devotees to surrender to, who can actually teach us by their example and instructions how to not only give up our false ego, but actually accept the real ego, that I'm Krishna's eternal, the servant of Krishna's servants, and learn how to love the devotees appropriately, how to love Krishna appropriately, how to help the innocent appropriately, and how to avoid those who are against Krishna appropriately. So that discrimination expertise we have to learn from people. And therefore the best ones to learn from are those who have discrimination expertise and can teach us how to understand who else has that expertise and discrimination and learn from them also. Because Krishna is in everyone's heart. He's not in the heart of one devotee. He's in every devotee's heart. And therefore every devotee, according to their level of spiritual advancement, either we can to serve their instructions and example, or we can cooperate with them under the instructions and example of higher authorities, so we can learn how to properly exchange loving exchanges. Then we spiritually advance, we can help others. And therefore Prabhupada says that one should be careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as one's spiritual master. Now who's an Uttama Adhikari? There's different definitions of Uttama Adhikari. There's a definition by eligibility. There's a definition by faith. But in any case, we have to accept someone or someones as superior to us and to try, under the directions of the Prabhupada's instructions and example, learn how to serve them, serve their instructions so we can learn how to serve everyone else. But service is there. And the minimum mentality is respect, if not appreciation. In the cult of bhakti, and there's only love and respect and appreciation. There's nothing else. If there's discrimination, it's not with envy or with competition. It's with the idea of how to serve better, how to serve appropriately. But service is the basic principle. Love is the basic principle. Appreciation is the basic principle. And if we're not experiencing that, then Prabhupada said, then we're Maya. The sign of, in one lecture he said, the sign of being a Maya is that we're morose. If you're feeling morose, then you're not in Krishna consciousness. You're not even liberated. If you're hankering, lamenting, if you're envious, if you're in any kind of material consciousness, it's a sign of lack of devotional service, not advancement in it. That when we give up hankering, lamentation, then we'll see all living entities as spiritual beings, servants of Krishna. And then we can learn how to serve them and enter into real devotional service. So that's the basic principle. It's not a competition. Who's the greatest? Who's going to go back to Godhead first? There's only so many positions left in the spiritual world. I'm going to make sure I get there before anyone else. There's some religions who say like that. They have thousands, millions of followers. But they say only 100,000 are going to get in. So exactly, you know, how they adjust everything is hard to say. Why they want to make anyone else into a follower if it's if only a certain number of followers are going to get into the spiritual world? Why would they want anyone else? They have enough competition already. Why not discourage everyone else to get out of their society? So then you get guaranteed you'll get into the spiritual world. But that's not our mentality. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Regarding spiritual master, today was a lot of talk about spiritual master. How in ISKCON there are so many spiritual masters, like, and we are in that society. So how can a person know who's his spiritual master?
Well, the best spiritual master, well, the Prabhupada gives many instructions on it. Best spiritual master is one who's actually a master of the science of Krishna consciousness, who knows the science. So that means that they should be able to teach us. So one thing is that our relationship with the person is going to be important, because unless we have a good relationship with the person, it's very hard to take any instructions seriously or enthusiastically. Generally we serve out of appreciation or love, so there should be some reciprocation. Second is how strictly they're following. If they don't understand the science, they're not going to follow it very well. And if they don't follow it very well, they're not going to understand the science. So that's two important qualifications of who's a spiritual master: the ability to create a relationship, and number two, how strictly they're following, so they actually understand what the science is, so we actually learn something from them. Otherwise, there's a lot of people we can create relationships with, but they may not teach us anything. And there's some people that can teach us a lot, but we don't, because we have a relationship, we don't really accept their teachings. Second thing is, knowing the science of Krishna means that they should be able to give us the broadest vision possible, so we know how to interact with every living entity we come in contact with in such a way as it furthers our devotional relationship with Krishna and with the devotees. So they have to be expert enough to teach us the six loving exchanges and how to appropriately apply them in our interactions with everyone else. Then the relationship becomes then we can go to the Madhyama Adhikarya platform. We can work on the Madhyama Adhikarya platform, which will purify us and bring us to the Uttama Adhikarya platform. But if we simply officially accept someone as a spiritual master and we don't really see their example and they don't train us how to appropriately serve and love all the other devotees, then the result is that we don't really make very much spiritual advancement. We remain on the Kanistha Adhikari platform and we don't really get very much spiritual benefit. Is that right? Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.